Good evening. I give you all permission to call some other ministers to come help over here. One's supposed to be coming tomorrow. We'll see if she gets here. We're going to endeavor to talk about peace tonight.
Yes.
Peace. And let's ask God's blessings once more. Almighty God, we're thankful for peace. There's nothing that can substitute for your peace. We ask you tonight, Lord, that if there's one here tonight that doesn't have peace in their heart, regardless of age or status in life, we ask you, Lord, that you would reveal to them the need of peace.
Lord.
Bless us all to have an increase of peace. We ask, Lord, that the very God of heaven and earth will accompany the spoken word tonight. Make it rich, make it blessed. May we all receive good to our hearts and souls by assembling here one more time in this revival meeting. We ask you, Lord, the enemy won't have any part nor lot, but victory will be given to the saints, and we'll go away from here better than what we did when we come. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace is one of the primary needs of a child, one of the primary needs of a child, of a teenager, of an adult,
yes,
of senior citizens, just all peoples. Peace is one of the primary needs. And one of the pluses of being a child of God is to have peace. If you have peace in your heart tonight, it's worth more than $1 million in the bank.
Amen.
It's more valuable than acres of diamonds and mountains of gold.
That's true.
The peace of God. Some of you perhaps remember the name Elvis Presley.
Yes.
A man that had a song about all shook up, and he was a shook up individual. After his death, there was perhaps a ton of flowers sent or given, whatever. But you know, the man died without peace in his heart.
Yes.
And at one time he spoke about giving $1 million. He wanted peace. But you can't get it that way. But to the saint of God, the word says, peace I leave you. That's a wonderful legacy. In St. John, the 14th chapter, says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. One of the prize gifts that Jesus gives is peace. And one writer wrote about a kingdom of it. A whole kingdom of peace. And he said it's reigning within. And it'll ever increase in my soul.
Amen.
And we possess it right here.
Yeah.
What is this, October the 30th? 1996, we possess peace right here, not in some millennial reign.
Amen.
That's a popular idea that there will be a time when there'll be, have you ever heard the song, Peace in the Valley?
Yes.
Well, brother, you can have it in the valley now.
Amen.
You can have it on the mountaintop.
Yes.
And on the level, the peace of God. it to his people. And he said, we possess it right here when he saves from all sin. And it won't end here.
No.
It'll last while the ages shall roll.
Yes.
And this peace was doing something, working within him such a great, wonderful experience that he said, what a pleasure in life it is bringing, what a sure and hope evermore. Oh, what rapture and bliss are awaiting. It wasn't all here, it was some over there too. Thank shall be lost in the sky. Is the kingdom of peace. I love it. Raining right in my heart. It shall ever increase in my soul. We possess right here in Fresno, California. From all sin and for life, while the ages shall roll. Brother Carver used to lead that song in a different way, and he would hold out increase, and he would hold out last. The increased and the lasting. He'd hold it out. Let's try that. This songwriter says, I'm lost in its splendor and beauty. To its never fading heights I would rise. So there's heights in peace.
Yes.
Great peace. I am lost in its splendor and beauty. To its never-fading heights I would rise, till I see the King come to receive me, and explore it with Him in the sky. There's peace in the time of trouble.
Yes.
There's peace in the midst of the storm.
Yes.
Isn't it good to have it then?
Yes.
You know, we're just not at our best when we have agitations and disturbances and a little ill will, some grudges and hostilities and a bad attitude.
Yes.
We're just not the best when we're in that kind of state of mind. But this peace that is free from hostilities.
Amen.
Free from bad attitudes. You know, a bad attitude can rob you of your peace.
Yes.
I read about a woman, and I've told this different times, but this woman had injected some money in a stamp machine. I believe it was 50 cents she put in, and no stamps come out. So there was an address on this stamp machine, and so she just took it and wrote it down. And then she wrote a letter to this company, and she wanted the 20 cents that she spent for a stamp. It's been a while back, you know, they're 32 now, but she wanted that reimbursed, and she wanted the 50 cents that she lost reimbursed. Well, time went by, and didn't hear a thing. And she kept this posted on her bulletin board, this address. And when she'd look at that address, these feelings had just... her peace was affected just by looking at an address.
Yes.
Sometimes it don't take much to disturb your peace, does it? Somebody cut in on you at the freeway. Maybe your checkbooks don't balance out.
Yeah.
A zipper gets stuck. Or different, stumble over something. Well, anyway, when she'd look at this address, that feeling would be there. That hostile attitude affected her.
Yes.
Well, she was cleaning up one day, working on this bulletin board, and here, there, that was attitude come with that. Seeing that address. Same feelings was bothering. But this time, this individual did something different. She said a little prayer, and she reached over and got that address, and she ripped it and put it in the trash can, and that bad feeling went too.
Amen.
We're just not our best if we have hostilities, if we have bad attitudes. Wouldn't that have been awful to go to hell over 70 cents?
Yes.
Frivolous, isn't it? Think about it. The things that disturb your peace sometimes are very frivolous. They're not amount to... In 50 years, what difference will it make? In 25 or 5 years, what difference will it make? Little frivolous things that upset people's peace. And we're just not our best. That primary need we have is peace in here. Peace in our heart. But you know, in our space age, fast-paced life, when people's going lickety-split in life down the fast lane, peace is at a low end. Well, I could be a millionaire or maybe a billionaire if I had a dollar for every tranquilizer that's been prescribed. Amen. But that's not real peace. Peace you get out of a bottle. Any kind of a bottle, any kind of a needle. That's not real peace.
No, that's true.
You know, they can probably tranquilize a lion. Shoot some type of drug in him and tranquilize him, and maybe he's just as harmless as a little cat. But brother, sister, let that tranquilizer wear off. And you got that same lion to deal with.
Yes.
Those tranquilizers that's prescribed to people maybe can calm them down and soothe them, but let it wear off.
Yes.
Huh? See? A piece that you get out of the bottle is only maybe worth what you pay for it.
That's true.
Maybe it isn't worth that. But it is a real piece, see? Real peace is at a low end.
Yes.
There's hostilities and great tensions in the Middle East. Amen.
Yes.
There's hostilities between the Republicans and the Democrats in our nation.
Yes.
There's hostilities and difficulties between races.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
But God has a real peace.
Yes.
There is hostilities in the family unit. We were talking to a 911 operator. You know, they're the ones that take these 911 emergency calls. And when the weather is bad, family violence escalates. See, they're in a close perimeter.
Yes.
And tensions and disturbances erupt. And as a result, domestic violence in that time worsens. There is family violence probably going on somewhere in our world now, right now. Some man beating his wife or some child, maybe pulling a trigger at mom and dad. Peace is at a low end.
Yes, that's
May God help us tonight to value peace.
Yes.
Family violence isn't anything new.
That's right.
It dates way back to Cain and Abel. And I read about a couple of sisters. They had some kind of a problem or whatever it said. There was some problem. So they lived in the same house. I think they slept in the same room. But they would not speak to each other. They could probably hear each other breathe. And I don't know how long that existed. Isn't that a miserable way to live? Two blood sisters so hostile at each other they won't even speak to each other. Right in the same room, and neither one of them wanted to move out, but they didn't want to act like sisters. And so they existed in that kind of a atmosphere, non-speaking. Cain was so wrought against Abel that he rose up and he just brutally, cold-blooded, murdered his own brother.
Yes.
There was not peace between them. And so one of them ended up dead. We need peace in the family, don't we? Jacob, by his conniving way and through his mother's influence, got the blessing that was to go to Esau. He was blessed. And as a result, after Esau found it out, he got it in for Jacob. And he was going to murder him, take his life.
Yes.
But God had a way of preserving him, and he got away. But there was that hostility. Brother against brother. Sister against sister. Folks, those things shouldn't be.
Amen.
And it surely shouldn't be when it comes to brothers and sisters in the Lord. The saints of God ought to be the most peaceful, sweetest people in the world. Amen.
Yes.
Go out of their way. The Bible tells us as much as as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. Go out of your way to have peace. Well, Brother Gordon Humphrey was preaching, and he was telling about an incident in his marriage. He's a painter, and he wanted to paint their house blue. And his wife, she didn't want a blue house. So, she finally, although she didn't want a blue house, she finally submitted to allow, to let it, agree to let it be blue. Well, in the course of the message, the brother didn't tell what color it finally ended up being painted, but one of the brothers that was hearing the story was interested enough and curious enough that he asked Brother Gordon what color it was painted. Brother Gordon said white. You know, if you'll give in, it's more peaceable.
Yes.
She gave in and she still didn't have to have the blue house. The people of God ought to be the most loving, caring, peaceable people there is.
Amen.
And right here in the congregation, it ought to be the most peaceable place on earth.
That's true.
Sister Mary, the Christian cannot bear fruit without being peaceable. Even chickens and cows, when they get agitated, they don't lay eggs and they don't eat milk. They have to have a peaceable surrounding, and it's for us to bear fruit. We must have peace in our lives.
A very good point. And they used to advertise pet milk from contented cows. That was a plus, being contented, having contented cows, pet milk. And so this peace must be in our lives as people of God. We must have the peace of God within us. And should this only be in our regular worship services, or should it be in business meetings?
Yes.
You say yes, Sister Taylor?
Yes.
Should be in business meetings? May God bless.
Yes, amen.
Seemed like Brother Travis was telling one time that Brother Chandler wanted to, stating, if you want to see the spirituality of a congregation, do you think that he said go on Sunday morning? Not on Wednesday night or Sunday night. But his gauge was, go at business meeting. Well, he may have had something there.
Yes.
Go at business meeting. How much peace is there at business meetings? It should be peaceable, shouldn't it?
Yes.
May God help us. And Abraham was such a avid supporter of peace and a peacemaker that when his nephew and the herds got to getting involved in strife and they was having some real problems, well, he just went to Lot and said, look, this isn't right. You just pick out what you want. And I'll just take the leftovers. You know, life maybe could be more peaceable at times if we was willing to take leftovers.
Amen.
Yes.
That one woman, she was willing to get her blessing if she had to eat crumbs. And let me tell you, if you eat enough crumbs, they can fill you up. And they're not too bad, some of them good crumbs. And so he was willing to allow his nephew, which really he didn't have the right to it anyway, but he was willing. Whatever you, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. In other words, let's have peace. I pray thee between me and thee, and even between a herdsman and thy herdsman, for we be brethren.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody just had a peaceful attitude? Well, he was willing to, so to speak, roll up his sleeves to attain peace. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. For if thou departs to the right, then I will go to the left. Whatever. I'll just let you have your way.
Yes.
Do you know if you let people have their way, it's more peaceable?
Yes, that's right.
If you do it with a good attitude,
yes,
just give in. Wasn't it in Isaac that he was needing some water out of a well, and he got these different wells, and the Philistines messed it up and put earth in it, and he had trouble with somebody else. They messed it, or they insisted that the well was theirs or whatever, and he just moved off.
Yes.
He wanted peace.
Yes.
This story, I might not have it just right. It's in the 26th chapter of Genesis. Get your Bible tonight and read about how this man wanted peace. And finally, the Lord made room for him.
Yes.
If you take down and let people have their way, God's going to make room for you.
Amen.
But if you push and shove and strive and bicker and all of these things, there'll be no peace. May God bless us to be peaceable people.
Amen.
Study war no more.
Yes.
Lay down all the war weapons.
Yes.
One of the greatest war weapons is that 2-ounce tongue, isn't it?
Yes.
It's hard to hold.
Yes, so.
And may the Lord bless us tonight that we'll have this type of attitude. I was at a place one time, and this congregation was supposed to have had this foreign mission money offering taken once a month. And so I made a suggestion where this money could be put, or what could be done with this money. I was the only one there that voiced that type of a thing. And the other people there, they was thinking it should go someplace else. Well, I was supposed to preach in that place that very Sunday, morning and night. And here they had turned down my suggestion, and they had taking another route. They decided to do something else with the money, and it wasn't for any missionary at all. Well, you know, if I'd have got a real bad attitude and held it, do you think I'd had any success preaching to those people on Sunday morning or Sunday night? But the Lord helped me. We don't have to have our way.
That's right.
And you know what? My suggestion wouldn't have worked anyway, because the thing that was suggested for, it was scrapped. You see? And what if I had just got a real great big chip on my shoulder and wouldn't have wanted to speak and wouldn't have wanted to preach to them? If they can't take my suggestion, how can they take my preaching?
Yeah. No.
See, I'd have been in trouble, wouldn't I, Brother Taylor?
Yes, amen.
If I'd have just refused to preach to them when they didn't take my suggestion.
Yes.
God knows that we need to humble down.
Yes.
And when we don't get our way, to still have peace. One song says nothing. Now, folks, that's a depth.
That's
Nothing can my peace disturb. They say great peace are they that love thy law, and some things shall offend them. Nothing? Nothing shall offend them? Nothing shall my peace disturb? Ooh, that could take in a whole lot of things. That could take in if I find out I got cancer. My peace wouldn't be disturbed. If I find out somebody lied on me, my peace wouldn't be disturbed. It's deep. May God help us to attain to that. Nothing can my peace disturb. Free and happy as a bird. Ever joyful in the Lord. That's some heights and depths to attain to in peace. That nothing can disturb our peace. And people can actually do things to try to disturb your peace. Well, may God bless us that it won't work. That peace will just remain. I love peace and I want more of it. Oh, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. The enemy won't be nosing around nowhere or bringing any types of disturbances. It'll just be peace all through these ceaseless ages of eternity. Peace. Abraham wanted peace. Isaac wanted peace, so they just let them have their wells. But God made a way for Isaac too. May the Lord bless us tonight. It's wonderful to be at peace with yourself. And you know a lot of people aren't.
That's true.
They're so miserable that they overdose, that they take that gun. And Marilyn Monroe was a sex symbol, and millions of people, or men, probably lusted after her. But she was a miserable woman, and she ended up taking her own life.
Yes.
She didn't have peace. She had fame, honor, riches, prestige, but she didn't have peace. She took her own life. It was miserable living in Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
Amen. You know, you can have trouble with a neighbor and there not be a peace between you and your neighbor. Let's say the neighbor got out and your trash can was waiting for the pickup the next day and it just knocked it over and trash was just all over your nice lawn. And they made no attempt to pick it up. And there was words in between. Well, you could kind of duck and dodge and avoid that neighbor. You could maybe even peek out your window shade and see if it's all clear. And you can go to your car and don't even have to see your neighbor. Or somebody on the job. But it's just not at that peaceful coexistence. Well, 8 hours and you're off of your job. You don't have to see that individual till the next morning. Maybe at home, right under your own roof, there's hostilities or feelings with you and your companion. But that isn't all the time, because sometimes they're gone and you're gone and you're out of each other's presence. Shouldn't be like that.
Yes,
that's so.
But you know something? If you go on a vacation, yourself can go too, can't it?
Yes.
If you would take a space shuttle and go out into outer space, yourself could go too, couldn't it?
Yes.
If you went down into the depths of the ocean yourself can go to, can't it? And if it's unpleasant living with yourself and a gnawing conscience, that'll go right with you, won't it? And you won't have peace. It is good to have peace with yourself. Amen. A lot of people tonight are not at peace with themselves. In the 7th chapter of Romans, there was a man, and it was Paul, and he was in a very miserable state. In the 24th verse of that chapter, it says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death?" Here is an individual who was very, very much in a turmoil. And he considered himself and named himself out as being wretched. And he gave a graphic description of his existing in a very, very unpleasant state of life. He was miserable. One song said, "My soul in trouble roamed upon a weary plain, and ever restless long, a perfect bliss to gain. But I have found the Lord in me. An everlasting store of comfort, joy, and bliss to me. Sin can keep people from being at peace with themselves.
Yes.
This individual said, "My soul in trouble roamed upon a weary plain, and ever restless longed a perfect bliss to gain." A troubled soul. Sin is a troublesome, unpeaceful way to live. The way of the transgressor is hard.
Yes,
there's no peace to the wicked, to that individual in sin tonight. That's an unpeaceful way to live.
Yes,
it's an unnormal way to live.
Yes.
It's not normal to live in sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It is not a normal life. And you weren't designed and created to bear the load of sin. And brother, sister, it'll weigh you down. In Pilgrim's Progress, he had a big old load on his back. And when he'd go to bed, that load would go with him. When he'd walk about, the load of sin, that's what it represented, he'd go right with him. And he was so troubled. One member or all members of his family was wondering about his mental status. Do you know, conviction can seize on a heart and they can be very disturbed. Well, he was in this type of unrestful condition, looking for help. And one day out in the field, a man come to him, evangelist. And he explained that he wasn't fit to live or die. That's the way it is in sin. Not ready to live, not ready to die. He was miserable. And so he told his plight to the evangelist. And the evangelist said, "Do you see that light? Or you see the wicker fence?" And he didn't quite glimpse it. As he's looking, you see the light. "I think I see the light." "Well, keep your eye on that." And he took off. He took off. That load took off with him. And he began to run. And as he got close to his house, his family tried to persuade him, "Come back. Don't go. Neighbor." It was against him going to. But he put his fingers in his ears.
Yes.
And he was on the run.
Yes.
And he was saying, "Life, life, eternal life."
Yes.
He was running for his life.
Yes.
The burden and the weight of sin was so heavy upon him, he wanted relief.
Yes.
Sin's an ugly way to live.
Yes.
There's nothing pretty about it anyway. There's nothing good about it. It'll take you to eternal destruction. And it'll disturb your peace. It'll keep you from having peace. He wanted peace. People that are in sin tonight need the peace of God. They need God's peace. And they don't have it, or they wouldn't take the bottle. Amen. If a person was perfectly satisfied and at peace with themselves, they don't want to distort that. That's why they take the bottle. There's something in there that isn't at peace with God. To those that dabble around with the needle, do they have peace? Is God real to them as he wants to be? You see, they're wanting something that they don't have.
That's true.
They're not satisfied. There's not that peace. There's not that contentment. Maybe there's a great fear of death. Oh, it means much to have peace in life. But brother, sister, man was an infidel. He come down to the closing of life without God, and he was a troublesome. Even his friends, they didn't give him comfort. He didn't receive peace from his former life. He didn't receive peace from his friends. The nurse on duty declared for all the money in Europe. It made such an impression on her. She didn't want another case of an infidel. He didn't have peace in life. He didn't have peace when he was facing death and he went out into eternity, lost forever. It means must have peace in life. And when we come to that time to cross over, it's going to mean so much to have peace then.
That's true.
There was one man recorded in the Word of God that did not die with peace in his heart. And he had been in life acquainted with the man who was a child of God. And he was so in trouble that he could see Lazarus over here resting in the bosom of Abraham. And he was down here. And there was flames that was tormenting him. Folks, he didn't have a peace. He died without God. In eternity, he didn't have God. He didn't have peace. And he could see this peaceful resting position that Lazarus was in. In Abraham's bosom. And here he was, tormented. Tormented! He died without peace. If you die without peace in eternity, it'll be that you won't have peace there. And the very thing that kept you from being a child of God and having peace will be the thing that torments you the most.
Yes.
There is no peace in hell. No peace in hell tonight. If we could see beyond the veil out there in the spirit world, Brother Charles, into eternity where souls are without God. Well, this soul was there.
Yes.
And he was praying. And he was desirous of one little bit of water. Can you see that? Just enough water on the tip of Lazarus' finger to bring it over here to me, to cool me, because I'm tormented. seems like a very simple request, doesn't it? Not very much water. He wasn't asking for a gallon. He wasn't asking for a cup. Just enough water on his finger to come over here and allow me to have that. God's merciful, isn't he?
Yes, amen.
Did he grant the request, though?
No.
Request denied. He's still in that state tonight, folks. This was recorded centuries ago. Amen.
Yes.
And this was no fairy tale. This was a real live happening.
Amen.
And that real live spirit tonight would perhaps give all of this, well, I'm sure they would, all of the wealth of this world to just have that much water. But he cannot have it. He died without peace in his heart. And he's forever without it, in torment.
Yes.
In torment. Where there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Folks, do we have peace tonight? Are we ready and prepared to meet our Maker? If he would split through the clouds tonight, could we say, "Come even, Lord Jesus"? Or would we have a fear and a dread? Would we have peace or would we be troubled? It said something about crying for rocks and mountains to hide, but there'll be no hiding place. I have been in Colorado, and you could get out and stand, and there's mountains so tall of rocks that it exceeds your height by a long ways. And there's no way that I would just stand there and cry for those mountains to come on me of rock. It wouldn't be normal, would it? It would just bury me alive. But in that day, those that don't have peace in their heart is going to cry for the rocks and the mountains. They won't have the peace of God to be in their heart. May God bless us tonight. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with your fellow man? Do you have peace with yourself? Do you have peace with your brothers and sisters in the Lord? God wants us to have peace. May God bless you tonight. Think very serious. If we go out of this world without peace, we'll be in eternity. Forever without peace. May God bless these thoughts for the good of all of our hearts and minds. Should there be one tonight who some way doesn't feel at peace with God, it's your privilege to pray and ask for that peace to come in. We sang a song earlier, there's power in the blood to save from sin, to bring the peace of God where guilt has been. God bless you.